Only 6 feet, but I ball like I'm 6'2". Spray painting shit that graffiti don't stick to. I'm on the grind cause my hustle is official. Chilling at the house, you could call my crib the igloo. I'm too legit to describe to you with other rhymes, but they stick to your mind like a thick glue. I've had fights though I'm not a very big dude, but with the pad and pencil off the bench, move for Rignu. Yellow on the outside, brown through and through, so my niggas call me Fig Newton, one equipped to spit through brick walls, stick straw, bin blew the house down. When I came to town, all the pigs move. You're talking down, that's a bitch move. We hold it down, that's a Rick Rude. They cheer us on with the sis boom ball. This new guy's flamer than a pistol at your mental with the flow you wanna sit through. I could step through hot lava with paper boots, aim and shoot Darth Vader lasers when I blaze the booth. Black paint stained jeans, no Taylor suit. Hater proof rhymes make dudes and dimes raise the roof. I'm a saber tooth, but I'm mammoth strong. I'm a black ranger, I'm a mastodon. Coming fast and strong. It's no defense. My girl's a pterodactyl and my best friend's a T-Rex. All of us together for a Megazord. You can duck, but motherfuckers better run for cover when I get my sword. Knock them out like they never had rest before. I don't give a fuck like I never had sex before. And I could rock it a cappella, fuck it, less is more. I gotta talk by saying hella cause I rep the north. Then California, I'm in rare northern Cali form. Don't forget the knee, all you BLBS have been warned. They heating up, it's about time, man, I have been warm. I just burn punk MCs like a fire storm. I just turned 23, shout to Michael Chore, and I'm trying to do it B.I.G. like it's 94.
Go, go Power Rangers! Go, go Power Rangers! Go, go Power Rangers! You mighty Morphin Power Rangers!
After these messages, we'll be right back.
From Charms.
What?
Cut, cut.
So what you just listened to was a new track by A1. He had a new mixtape released called the After School Special mixtape. And on that, most of the tracks were labeled, obviously, after video game tracks. Like there's a Golden Girls track and Goosebumps and other stuff. And then I saw Black Ranger. I'm like, what's Black Ranger? I don't know what Black Ranger
is. What else
is
it going to be?
I wasn't thinking.
Did
I was really tired.
The tracks were themed after video games?
No, I meant shows, TV shows.
Okay, because I was going to say...
I guess I'm real
Golden Girls.
This alternate reality where I can play Golden Girls for the NES? I mean, I want that. So get Dr. Octorok on it.
Fuck this Serenity remake. Do Golden Girls.
Yes, obviously.
It's a really awesome album, and it's free. So go get it.
That's a hell of an endorsement. No,
no, it's a good album and it's free. Like
you didn't know what a Black Ranger was?
I know what the Black Ranger is, but just seeing it like amongst all these other TV show titles,
right.
I'm like, what's Black Ranger the show?
Because a Black Ranger can't support his own show is what.
Well, I was thinking it was like the African-American equivalent to like Walker, Texas Ranger or something. I don't know.
You're the most racist person.
Why has he got to be African-American? Why can't he just
be in Texas?
Yeah. All right. Why can't he just be African?
What?
Like Black Panther.
Maybe he lives in Canada. I mean, it's a television show.
Yeah.
Chances are they shot it in Canada.
Ranger.
I don't... I'm just...
What do you call a black guy in England? Can't call him African-American. Just call him a black guy.
African-American English.
African English?
Why is there a crusade against me?
I just hate the term African-American.
Why has it got to be the Crusades?
Yeah. All right, are you saying... You have a thing against Moors?
What?
You mean Moops.
So I guess I'm going to talk about Superman.
Yeah, let's talk about Superman. And this is an important issue. Superman is the first thing that people think of, that normal people think of when they think of comic books. I'm talking about, like, Joe Schmuck at a NASCAR race. Comic books? You mean, like, Superman? That's what they're going to say to you.
Or the yeah. Batmans?
No, but they're going to say Superman, they're though. They can't
gonna.
Relate to the Batman. He's too spooky. But Superman is actually disliked by a lot of counterculture.
Yeah, like nerds and shit can't relate to Superman. They're like, oh, he's too overpowered. I like Batman. And I'm like, why?
You're dumb.
I like chocolate and vanilla. I like eating both. I like ice cream.
I mean, my reasoning for not like Superman is because I hate it when people really use that the Jesus archetype, but that's...
Like, I mean, that's why he was created, though.
Right, I know, and like, it's not that I, like, I hate... It's just, I don't like him. It's not that I
he was created by Jews. Can't be a Jesus archetype, all right? He is a Messiah archetype, not specifically Jesus.
But I gotta say, that recent graphic novel Superman book...
Superman Earth 1, is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, that's good.
That was freaking awesome.
Well, see, what that did was it...
Wait, I heard he wears a hoodie at one point, so I hate it.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Thank you, whatever that... What was her name? The reporter woman?
Oh.
No idea.
Katie Couric. Really? Yeah, no, actually, I tweeted to her about...
when I told her to... Yeah. Suck it?
Yeah, no, I tweeted her that directly.
Wait, hold on. Really? She doesn't like it because he's wearing a hoodie?
Well, because she is the masses that Cappy was referring to who don't read comic books and don't want their iconic imagery of these characters that they don't even follow to ever change. So
they're hating on the industry for acting like an industry and changing accordingly to... placate to the audience that actually gives them money.
Yeah, because see, the biggest complaint about Superman is everyone's like, he's overpowered. I can't relate to him. I can relate to Batman. I'm like, oh, you can relate to a genius billionaire playboy who is an expert martial artist and
whose parents died in front of his eyes.
They say yes, and then they use their own bat launcher thing to show them way.
Yeah, exactly. So it's
get all them toys.
It's like you can't really relate to any superhero in comic books. Really, you're just enjoying these fictional stories.
Right.
And Superman is kind of just this daddy figure. No one likes daddy. Don't wake daddy.
Well, I think actually like Mickey Mouse, he's something that became so iconic that it neutered him. Disney was like, well, we can't have Mickey be a bastard. He's our number one guy. And we're the happiest place on earth. So
well, what I love is when in comics,
he's my number one guy.
When other superheroes refer to Superman, how they're always in awe of being in his presence. Or like, oh my gosh, he said I did a good job. It's the same kind of reverence you see in Marvel when Cap is done right. And people are like, holy shit, it's Steve Rogers right here.
Yeah.
It's heroes who are people's idols having idol worship for this person who is a phenomenal superhero for so many more reasons than because he can fly and he can't be shot at. Yeah.
And actually that's
Superman just wants to help everybody.
And then that sort of Boy Scout aspect of him, and also the fact that despite him being, that because he's an illegal immigrant situation who, like, America has, like, you know, brought himself up and everything by his own bootstraps, even though the bootstraps are really the yellow rays of the sun.
Well, see, that's the problem. That's the problem, is that Superman was created in, like, 1939. People needed something to look up to, and that's why Superman was relevant then. A guy who couldn't get shot, a guy who could do all these wonderful feats was what something people wanted to read about. But now in this...
He could beat up gangsters and he could beat up people who hit their wives and he could be a total dick about it. And it was great.
Yeah. In this day and age, people don't want to read that. They want real heroes. They want ordinary people acting extraordinary, not extraordinary people. So it just hasn't been relevant. And there's been like Lois Lane was all about, like, you know, women's rights, like a woman in the workplace. Holy shit, that was blowing everyone's minds in 1939. And now it's just like, oh my god, shut the fuck up, Lois. And then you have Jimmy Olsen, Superman's redheaded stepchild that represented America, and he wanted daddy to love him, and Superman was daddy, and
they went on adventures together.
They went on adventures and he was
played catch in the negative zone.
Yeah, he's Superman's number one pal, and all this shit just doesn't translate anymore. It just doesn't translate anymore. There's still good Superman stories being made. You tell the average nerd who's just jacking off to Batman Rule 34 that Superman's actually pretty cool too. They say, no, fuck you. I can't relate to Superman. And you're like, well, you realize Batman, Superman, best friends, right? You realize that.
There's a book called Batman, Superman.
Yeah.
It's not usually very good, but every now and then.
They're BFFs. And this new book, Earth One by JMS,
That's J. Michael Straczynski.
Yeah.
That's the guy who wrote Babylon 5.
Yeah.
If you're a different kind of nerd.
If you're a different kind of nerd. It's actually fucking good. And yes, he's wearing a hoodie on the cover. But that doesn't mean
he's not a Twilight vampire.
He's not a Twilight. He's not a surly man, as Katie Couric called him. Seriously. That's really? That's her sense of humor. I just want to shit down her throat. But Superman takes that premise of being overpowered and flips it. He comes to Metropolis for the first time, and he can do anything he wants. He could be a pro athlete. He could be a brilliant scientist and be, like, just this quadrillionaire. Instead, he's been raised by humanity. He's been raised to be a human, so he admires us. So instead of Superman being something you look up to, Superman looks up to us and sees us and what we do as just regular people that are extraordinary, and he wants to be that.
Because he sees how easy it is for him, and how easy it is for him to be exceptional, and how hard it is for everyone else.
So it's like, why the hell does Superman become a reporter? It's like, oh, back in the 40s, it's a convenient way for him to find out about trouble. Now he becomes a reporter because it's actually challenging.
In today's internet-soaked world where anyone with a blog is a relevant source of information to be actual paper news.
Cost debatable. But yes, print is dead.
No, yeah, exactly. Print is dead. It's so hard to actually run a newspaper. I hear it from my journalist friends back west all the time. And so I love that in this book, the one thing that people don't applaud him instantly going, yes, we want you to hire you on the spot, is when he walks into the Daily Planet.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, here's an application. Take this. We probably won't hire you, but we'll keep you on the file.
Yeah. It's cool.
What's most powerful is when he thinks about it, he throws that away.
Yeah.
Because it's so hard. It's the first thing that would actually be difficult for him.
Jimmy Olsen, he's been a photographer, you know. Peter Parker is basically a Jimmy Olsen ripoff. They take Jimmy Olsen and turn him into a wartime photographer. He's been in Iraq. He's been in Afghanistan. So when the shit hits the fan, because you have to have action in comic books, Jimmy Olsen is just running into the fray, right into these fucking things and taking pictures. Superman sees that and goes, holy fuck.
What's wrong with this guy?
This man could die.
Jimmy comes off as a total crazy.
He is just a badass. And he just has no fear. And he's running out into to get these shots. And Superman is like, that kid is awesome. That kid's going to be my best friend. Instead of like, I'm going to adopt you and then burn a sweater in front of you. And like...
Grow a beard.
I can't. I'm a ginger.
Jimmy's... Hayden or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah. This book is fucking awesome. J. Michael Straczynski is actually getting pulled off of his current run of the Superman title, which was a good premise and well executed for a couple issues, but has now kind of fallen off.
Yeah, let's talk about this. Let's talk about this. It was kind of interesting because Straczynski puts out Earth One Superman.
Yeah.
And
at the same time, he's putting out the single issue series of Superman, which is in its like 700, 600s.
Yeah, in the mainstream DC continuity.
And so he says, okay, I'm going to deal with Superman being too overpowered, and he's been in a lot of storylines lately where he's been off Earth and this. I'm going to ground him. And he calls the storyline Grounded, and he has Superman Forrest Gumping it across the nation. He's going to walk from one coast to the other and get in touch with humanity. And the first three issues were... really, really strong. It felt like, you know, people run up to him and say, we think you lost your powers. He's like, no. He picks the guy up and flies him around. And then they're like, well, what if there's another crisis? He's like, no, if I'm in Justice League for any reason, that's because Justice League needed me. If I'm in the Justice League issue, I went over there to help them with that, and then I'm going to come back exactly where I left off and walk. And it was like, oh, okay, this is pretty cool. He's actually going to get grounded and back to reality, but he'll still take care of any of the big problems as they crop up. And it was going strong for three issues, and then it just get really, really just heavy-fisted with what was going on, like dealing with immigration.
Oh, Speedy. Speedy's getting really upset with you criticizing the Superman book.
Red Kryptonite Cat. It's just really falling flat. And then he actually missed a deadline on an issue for health reasons. Fair enough. But then it just was like, oh my God. And then he comes back and it's this child abuse issue about Superman finding a kid in a basement. I was like, oh my God, this is the cheesiest shit I have read.
It was criticized pretty early on, actually.
And like,
by a fair amount of people.
It was. And I was with it for the first couple issues. I was really...
Yeah, you gave it a chance.
Yeah, I was really all about it. And I was promoting it, even.
You can watch the indifference happen in a comic show, actually.
Yeah.
You see Mike and Aaron being like, oh, yeah, comics are awesome. This week's so good. I'm Aaron. Wait, Phantom. It's me, Aaron. I'm the producer of Nerdy Show. I don't even know what it's about. I don't listen to nothing. I'm never going to hear this. And
let's air some more dirty laundry. Yeah.
And he's just, both of them are getting really jacked about it. And they're like, when the child abuse issue came out, they're just cracking jokes about
how he's getting beat because he's
the because the cover of the book has this like little kid like kind of looking up wearing a Superman shirt with a black eye,
and it was, he got beat because he went to go pick up the new issue of Superman, and it was late, so he got punched in the eye, and he was like, no daddy, read Superman Earth One, it's better, and he was like, original graphic novel format, no, fuck that, and he was just like,
I heard he had a hoodie.
But of course, Superman isn't even the Superman comic. The original Superman comic, like Batman was Detective Comics, is Action Comics.
And Action Comics.
Holy shit.
Wins the contest.
Yeah.
Wins the contest of Superman walking. Wins the contest of Wonder Woman putting on pants and a jacket. It wins because all these books came out around the same time, and Action Comics is just fucking
it is
brilliant.
The king.
It is so good. It's. Focuses on Lex Luthor and everyone who...
It's not called, like, Superman in Action Comics anymore. It's called Lex Luthor's Action Comics.
Yeah. And so a lot of people go, hey, read Action Comics. It's got Lex Luthor in it. And they go, I don't like Superman. I'm like, neither does Lex Luthor. You guys have a lot in common. Like, Lex Luthor...
Oh my God, you should totally hang out.
Yeah. Lex Luthor fucking hates Superman. And it's written by Paul Cornell, who has just been kicking ass over at DC. But he also wrote some great Marvel stuff and some great Doctor Who stuff.
M13?
Yes. M13.
Yes.
And he wrote Wisdom.
All the Excalibur, Pete Wisdom stuff at Marvel.
That stuff was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so good. Now he's a DC exclusive, which made me super sad until I started reading Lex Luthor, and I was like, whatever, he'll come back to Marvel someday.
Yeah. He's at DC, and I don't know what blackmail stuff he has on Dan DiDio, because he can do whatever he wants. It starts out, and you're like, all right, he's got, like, a sexy robot, Lois Lane. That's cool. And then it's like, oh, Mr. Mind. Okay, you know, Mr. Mind versus Lex Luthor. That's cool. Okay, Deathstroke. All right, you're amping it up a little bit. Gorilla Grodd, that's cool. Boom. Sandman's death. A character from Vertigo that has been not allowed to cross into the DC universe forever. Neil Gaiman actually wrote her dialogue in that issue. Whoa. And it is... brilliant. It is brilliant. And now he's got Vandal Savage. He's got the Secret Six showing up.
Whoa.
He gets to do what, and you know what? I love Secret Six, and I want
my favorite DC comic.
I want everyone to read Secret Six. And if Action Comics gets people into Secret Six, fuck yes.
Yeah.
Like that's what I want. He's just taking everything that's good at DC and being like, look, you have all this stuff, how come nobody plays with it?
The structure and pace of the story is great. You're hearing us like list off all these people who are in the issues, and it's not as forced as like Spotlight, Lex Luthor fights this guy this time. I mean, it is Lex Luthor fights this guy this time.
It's like the story's actually good because it's right out of the events of Blackest Night, where he held the Orange Ring of Avarice.
Yeah. Do you like Green Lantern?
Yeah.
This book is happening very specifically because Lex got a taste of the Orange Lantern's power.
Yeah, so now he needs that kind of power again, and he's searching the world for any sort of power ring that he can wield, and there's these spheres of black energy left over from the beginning of time that are somehow related with Blackest Night, and that has him doing things like going to the Gorilla Forest and meeting Grodd, having Deathstroke work for him, shit like that.
Meeting death.
Yeah, kind of a big deal. And then there was this annual that just came out, which was fucking amazing. Yeah,
I haven't read it yet, but I heard some things about this.
It's just so good. And from the opening...
The cover is Darkseid.
Darkseid holding a young Lex Luthor. Okay?
That's why he has hair. This isn't Jimmy on the cover.
It opens with, born in Smallville, but relying on himself superior, he recently murdered his father to escape small-town America and build an empire on his genius. That's how it opens. It's like, yeah, he murdered his dad. It's fucking great.
That's the like the bubble in the beginning of a comic that tells you who the character is in case you didn't know.
That's the backup. That's the background.
Yeah, and this is an issue that has Darkseid and Ra's al Ghul in it, and it's...
Holy
it's
shit.
Fucked up, dude. It's like Luthor had ties to Intergang when he was a young child.
But he was a young adult.
Young adult. He was in Ra's al Ghul's care for a bit, much like Bruce was. Maybe that's why he left LexCorp to Talia when he became president. You know? Who knows? It kind of made it all tie together in my head better.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, really fucking good.
There you have it. Superman actually is amazing. Anyone who's doubted that he's a character worth paying attention to, I mean, he is a character worth paying attention to. I think, you know, Mike said it all when he reminded us he was a baby whose planet exploded, grew up in America. I mean, that's heavy.
Yeah.
And that's a compelling story, and that's not like that's not even as much BS as Captain America's origin story.
You know? Oh, yeah.
Like, that's it might be like true red-blooded American in its symbolism, but it's still really powerful and it's really compelling. And now the updates, whether it be via Lex Luthor or via Earth One, are just outstanding.
Yeah.
There is one thing going on in Marvel right now that's really catching my eye that I thought was really awesome.
Was it Spider-Man?
Is it the Avengers in the Infinity Gauntlet?
That was a great ending, by the way.
Yeah, yes. I love that ending. Everyone's like, "Boy, what happened? Nothing happened. And Spider-Man's like, no.
Spoiler.
The heroes win.
No, it's tied to Spider-Man.
Yeah.
It's Osborn.
Oh, yeah. Norman Osborn's Oz solo comic.
They teased in a few of Spider-Man comics that they're now gang members wearing a green and purple goblin tattoo. And I thought that was really interesting. It enriches this goblin mythos that I was already a big fan of. And now that Osborn is in the raft, he's locked away forever, quote unquote.
It's pretty exciting, actually. Like, it's a brilliant way to handle it. You know, Kingpin was in jail for a while in Daredevil, and this kind of reminds me of sort of when that was going on, but a more detailed look at orchestrating crime from within a prison than we ever got in Daredevil. And the goblin tattoo is just amazing. A friend of Peter's, who you may remember from the beginning of the Brand New Day story arc, who went to prison because he was framed for the Spider Tracer killings, he comes back and he's got a goblin tattoo on him. Like, such an amazing conflict.
We've got a goblin, we've got Hobgoblin. Are these guys the kobolds?
Yes. That is the name of the gang. They are the kobolds.
Some of you guys may have seen the Green Lantern trailer, and like the rest of the internet, you're probably really pissed because, let me read this tweet for you. Just seeing the Green Lantern trailer, why is he not a black guy?
Wait, what?
Yes. Twitter is abuzz with people very upset that Hal Jordan isn't black.
But
I think they're more upset that they thought that he would be John Stewart.
Let me read some of these. Let me read some of these.
But okay. They don't know that Green Lantern is anybody but John Stewart.
Yeah.
Because all they saw was that cartoon.
They said, "I could have sworn he was black in the cartoons. Now they make a movie and turn the Green Lantern white." Next one. "I thought Green Lantern was black. Big eye, little eye. I love Ryan Reynolds, but Green Lantern was supposed to be black." And then this gorgeous poison says, "I thought the Green Lantern was black. Yo, they be tripping."
Oh, no. Is Twitter?
They are tripping slightly.
Yeah. Green Lantern movie coming out. The white guy playing him. Smack my head. One of the black superheroes, and they made him white. Okay, the Green Lantern is supposed to be black superhero. Hell yeah, they played us.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
I guess this is just a testament to how many people watch Justice League Unlimited.
Now, here's my favorite. Yeah. It's by Nikki 71891. So, DC Com size, gonna make the Green Lantern white. Nigga supposed to be black.
Oh, God.
Yep.
Yeah.
So,
their defense, the Justice League and Justice League Unlimited were a great program.
Oh, they were brilliant. They were brilliant.
And they did need to choose John Stewart as the Green Lantern, despite having already Kyle Rayner in that universe, because if he wasn't,
yeah,
the team was going to be all white people.
Yeah.
And mostly white men. And
I'm going to call it Justice White League.
Yeah.
And one green guy.
Just us white guys.
I mean, there's much to be said for, you know, actually having a diverse crew. And that was a necessary choice. Yeah. And it was the only option. They're not going to make a character black who wasn't black.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they just fucking choose Black Lightning like they did in the 1970s. Well, terrible idea.
I think now would be a good time for DC to announce publicly. I mean, it's been said, but maybe they need to make a statement that Nick Jones, a black guy, is playing John Stewart in the movie.
Shut up.
Yeah.
I didn't know this.
It's like a cameo role, probably, but it's like kind of probably like how he appeared in Secret Origins in that bar fight sequence as one of the Marines. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So John Stewart's in the movie. There's a tweet on here that says, "I know for a fact that in Marvel Comics, Green Lantern is a black guy." All right. It's...
Woo!
Yeah.
Wow.
So...
What is someone doing on the internet if they don't know that?
I don't know. It's like...
Like one Google search, like Green Lantern. I could have sworn he was black. Google.
No.
Oh,
no,
he was originally white.
That was on his phone, man.
Yeah, I Google on my phone all the goddamn time. I don't start tweeting nonsense unless I make sure my nonsense is accurate, because I'm just going to get
flamed. You know who I blame for these people? All their friends that aren't correcting them. That's who I blame.
All their friends agree with them.
So what I have for you is from our good pal, Adam Warrock. Just recently on his track log, which is pretty much his blog where he puts on the hundreds.
Yeah. If you aren't RSSing Adam Warrock, then you are denying yourself an endless stream of amazing free music, all of it comic book themed.
Yeah.
Well, most of it comic book
themed. No capes. This all is awesome. Dedicated to his good friend, Chris Harley, who is a Superman freak. Not to be confused with a Rick James's super freak, who is in fact super freaky. He's been wanting to do a Superman song track for a while, and this just, he finally found the right beat. And so this is No Capes by Adam Warrock. Enjoy.
We need a man in the sky. This is why we need the S on the chest. This is why we ask each other if it's a bird or a plane. And this is why we know that evil never rests. Walking around Metropolis, ain't nobody stopping us. Yo, I drop the mic and just live my life. Clark Kent put the glasses on, going home, walking with his shoes on. Instead of taking flight, cause he isn't tired so much as he's exhausted. Holding up the world while he's trying to make a life. No wife, he never had time, reminded of responsibility. With superhuman abilities, that's the way he fights. Believe in yourself, no matter when you're falling. He's there to catch you all and you find you're in a rough spot. Cause villains try to hatch a scheme to eliminate dreams. No man is steel when you're in a cemetery plot. Sometimes I wonder if he's an ordinary man. No pain, I wonder if he feels it isn't fair. I wonder who saves him when he's in the same place. Looking in the sky cause we're needing him there. Yeah, this is what happens when the capes come off. No masks, no costumes, we lay ourselves bare. This is what happens when he steps out of the phone booth. Nights with no crime when he isn't in the air. This is why we need a man in the sky. This is why we need the S on the chest. This is why we ask each other if it's a bird or a plane. And this is why we know that evil never rests. Think back, I used to see an S all on my father's chest. And never thought twice, a superhero guy. I read the comic books and dreamed that Superman was flying throughout the sky, saving people in the night. But even heroes need a day off, it seems mine. He took a permanent vacation from my adult life. I learned to fight for myself and build a wealth in the struggle. But still, I wish that superheroes join me in the fight. Cause we all feel pain, that's why we read comic books. Believe that good beats evil in this cold world. Superman's red and blue, subconsciously America, the dying dream of a people who did it first. World wars brought us together with a common evil. Heroes seem more reasonable here in this day and age. But these days, I wonder if Superman feels the pain for all the ways he can't save us anyway. Yeah, this is what happens when the capes come off. No fights with supervillains, all the time to sit and think. This is what happens when our heroes turn to just men. It's what it's like when the real world stings. This is why we need a man in the sky. This is why we need the S on the chest. This is why we ask each other if it's a bird or a plane. And this is why we know that evil never rests.
Hi, my name is Astronautilus. And when I'm not busy twinking out my druids in World of Warcraft and painting all my figurines and my Space Wolves army for Warhammer 40K, I like to listen to The Nerdy Show.
Science is more than a body of knowledge. It's a way of thinking. A way of skeptically interrogating the universe. If we are not able to ask skeptical questions, to be skeptical of those in authority, then we're up for grabs.
In all of science, we're looking for a balance between data and theory. You don't have to delude yourself with irony and fairy tales.
The same spiritual fulfillment that people find in religion science, by coming to know, if you will, the mind of God.
The real world, as it actually is not evil. It's remarkable. And the way to understand the
physical world is to use science.
There is a new wave of reason sweeping across America, Britain, Europe, Australia, South America, the Middle East and Africa. There is a new wave of reason where superstition had a firm hold. Teach a man to reason.
Cosmology brings us face to face with the deepest mysteries, with questions that were once treated only in religion and myth.
The desire to be connected with the cosmos reflects a profound reality. We are connected, not in the trivial ways that astrology promises, but in the deepest ways.
I can't believe the special stories that have been made up about our relationship to the universe at large. But look at what's out there. It isn't in proportion.
Science is more than a body of knowledge. It's a way of thinking. A way of skeptically interrogating the universe.
There is a new wave of reason sweeping across America, Britain, Europe, Australia, South America, the Middle East and Africa. There is a new wave of reason where superstition had a firm hold.
Teach a man to reason.
Teach a man to reason.
Think for a lifetime.
Think for a lifetime.
Never let yourself be diverted by what you wish to believe, but look only and solely at what are the facts.
Enjoy the fantasy, the thought, the story, but make sure that there's a clear, sharp line drawn on the floor. To do otherwise is to embrace man.
There is a new wave of reason sweeping across America, Britain, Europe, Australia, South America, the Middle East and Africa. There is a new wave of reason where superstition had a firm hold.
Teach a man to reason.
Teach a man to reason.
Think for a lifetime.
Think for a lifetime.
So, as we all know, last month was Carl Sagan's birthday.
Happy birthday.
The whole month.
The whole month. There was a celebration in, I believe, Fort Lauderdale, of all places.
Really? You missed it, John. You blew it.
Apparently.
Diane and I streamed it live. One of the things we streamed was the Symphony of Science guy flew down there. He actually showcased a brand new video, which we just listened to, A Wave of Reason.
Chill out, John. I think it may have been Miami.
It might have been Miami.
That's a bigger city. That would make
sense. That was
still
pretty close.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You still blew it, but but you would have had to have driven.
You'll regret this for every day of the rest of your life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. By the way, sci-tech section.
Science. Science. Science.
Carl Sagan's birthday aside, this has been, I don't know, a big goddamn time for space science specifically.
Astrobiology, if you will.
Yes, yes, yes. John.
We found women on Mars.
Was at Broward College.
If only.
It was at Broward College, John. You blew it.
What?
So let's talk about these arsenic-based life forms. What the hell does that mean?
Well, apparently Gizmodo got a little bit overly excited about it. The way that it works is that they tolerate arsenic, and also if you wean them off of phosphor, they will incorporate arsenic in its place.
Oh, is that what it means?
Well, I'm gonna start over. What the fuck are you guys talking about?
Yeah, because
take it from the top. Yeah, for the love of Christ. It's like, what if I said triangle, square, circle, cap, and no one else has a frame of reference?
So the announcement was a new form of life. It exploded on the internet. I was waiting in apprehension for this announcement because it suggested a bunch of things that to me pointed to them having found life on the moon of Titan. That was just me being presumptuous. But it's actually pretty close. If I'm correct, and do correct me, John, the discovery is that they have found a microbial life form that actually...
Where'd they find it?
They found it on Earth, but it
Where?
near a lake in
California. Mono Lake in California. I've actually been there a few, half a dozen times.
Oh, so you're infected with space AIDS.
No, I didn't swim in it because it's an incredibly saline lake.
Did your aunt take you there? I might have
to. Aunt Nancy.
No. She's from Colorado. And no.
It's my understanding it's just not a very nice place, really.
Well, the reason is because Los Angeles has been draining it for decades, and so now it's just a shadow of what it once was, which is bottom of the barrel of really alkaline waters, which is more arsenic than anything.
This is not a life form from space.
No, it's actually a life form that was reported by the BBC like a year ago, so it's not even new to the news. However, the fact that it can adapt in a situation that is does not have phosphorus, which is one of the building blocks of life, it's able to instead take arsenic from the environment and adapt it. So,
and use it in place of. Arsenic was originally thought to be too unstable to be used as part of a life form
and
itself.
It regenerates with arsenic and builds its DNA from arsenic to that effect, right?
That's correct. That means that out there, it was theoretical that life based off of other building blocks than ours could exist. This is proof that it can happen.
Oh, so this proves that there is irrefutably other forms of life based off of different building blocks than we have had on Earth.
Correct. You still need a slightly Earth-like environment, as far as we know, for life. This just widens that spectrum, widens that definition of what an Earth-like environment could be that could support life. Because now there's this whole other, we have proof of this whole other category of how to build life.
So, like that X-Files episode where there's a silicone-based life form who lives in lava, that could be true.
Every X-Files episode is a documentary.
But basically the concept of replacing carbon as being the base of life and replacing silicon that's been speculated numerous times by science fiction. But yeah, that's the premise. I mean, the difference is that this bacteria, it didn't evolve separately from all of us. It adapted accordingly.
Right.
So it's not like this life form existed outside of it. And in a carbon-rich environment such as in under lava, it probably wouldn't replace the carbon for silicon.
Well, clear something up for me here, because we do science. We do science all the time on Nerdy Show.
I'm doing some science right now.
I mean, sometimes we dirty it up, but I mean, we do science, so I'm following you. This is something that I'm really into. But I could have sworn when this news initially hit the internet, it was kind of built up as something more.
That's because, and Phil Plait does the Bad Astronomer does an amazing job of addressing this in his blog. It's because NASA needed to do something sensational to grab the attention of press agencies. It made a
They then all misinterpreted the information that NASA gave and ran with it, and all of a sudden it's aliens.
Because they don't do science like Nerdy Show.
It's actually
science.
More along the lines of it's correct. A press release that the common public got a hold of and ran with. And they're like, oh my gosh, aliens, because it's talking about other life and it's astrobiology. Someone goes, what's astrobiology? That's astronauts talking about space and life in space. They go, oh my gosh, aliens.
Right.
And so Phil Plait does it as he does, because that's his job, is to debunk individuals that are doing quote-unquote bad science. He goes, this was a poorly written press release. They will most likely not be talking about aliens in the press conference in the next few days. So,
and of course, the bottom line from all of this, from a NASA's perspective, from astrobiology, is just that we can widen the search for aliens because now arsenic is almost okay.
It's not completely okay?
I mean, arsenic, the thing about, like, I was talking to a friend of mine who is a professional biologist. He was talking about how an arsenic-based life form would only be able to arise in an anaerobic situation, pretty much a situation without oxygen. So that's the things kind of limited to that are, like, plants, bacteria, fungus. So you're not really going to have this larger life form kind of arsenic poison metal man.
You say that now.
The sci-fi idea that we're going to meet, Vulcans and stuff out there is just incredibly unlikely. When we find life elsewhere, a definitive proof of life outside of the Earth, it's going to be microbes. It's going to be very simple plant, algae-like things, because that's the most common. That's where you start with life, and that's the easiest thing to develop. Evolution doesn't have an end goal. You know, you could have life on some other planet for twice as long as we've had it here on Earth. There's no guarantee that you'll even get to complex animals, much less
you might not get to second base
technology.
I am going to get to second base with those complex space animals. I'm just saying. I'm a smooth talking.
You and every other red-blooded American.
Hey, man, I'll home run with anything.
But in keeping with all this bacteria that's kind of exotic and weird, we've also found some deeper than ever before in the Gibroic region, actually.
That's one of the layers of the Earth?
Yeah, it's pretty far down.
Is that... How far down in Hollow Earth is that?
The very bottom. Like, in Minecraft, shit, you would just have fallen clean out the bottom of it.
Oh, like that thing you can do where you make bedrock disappear, and then you're just in heaven, and you're like, how do I get out of heaven? And you don't know.
But, so, at this point, they're thinking that there might actually possibly be life in and around the mantle of the Earth.
Ew. Whoa. So lizard men could exist!
In the absolutely Earth? Trapped in the Earth? Relevance.
So tell us more, John. What's the life mean, near the mantle?
What is it?
Bacteria. It's apparently not archaea, though, which is kind of weird because that's more of the extremophiles, the crazy, weird sort of bacteria. It's actually proper, normal bacteria, not some weird, crazy, freak life form.
So it's
boring.
So it's just plain Jane bacteria, like the stuff growing all over Mike's bathroom?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, the very same, except adapted to be able to survive way the hell down there.
Oh, so the exact same thing.
Yeah, the exact same thing.
It's like the bacteria on the toilet.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Around the shower drain.
Complete yes. with the it's same food the source. Same
but there is a little bit in the sink. But I'm just saying that's some tough shit. All right, that is some stuff we could send into deep space. All right, it'll bring stuff back.
It'll come back as Godzilla.
Yeah. It'll bring Laika back.
it'll interface with the monolith and become a space baby.
Yes,
and it'll become monolith.
No. Mike, this is all your fault. You ended us.
I'm glad it was me.
You know what I saw? I saw that an article that said that actually the chances of life have just multiplied by quite a bit because we have some new visualizing techniques that show that there are a shit ton more red dwarfs, not the television show, the actual red dwarfs out there in space than we had any clue. There's an article that shows a before and after picture of the same piece of space, and it's like, oh yeah, intermittent stars. Okay, cool. Then boom, blown up like with the shit ton of Christmas lights. It's all across the board.
Proof that God exists and that Jesus is the Savior.
I've been looking for that. Well, I'm convinced.
That picture did it.
Do you know why that jumped up that equation, that number of life or possibility that much higher?
Enlighten me with the gory details that I've forgotten.
The Drake equation.
I don't like where this is going.
Frank Drake is an astronomer who actually came up with the equation for what is the chance that there's actual life out there. I'm not going to bore you with the details.
This is all crazy talk. Ducks can't be astronomers.
No.
I completely agree. It is a fallacy.
No, it's an actual equation that he made, which is basically...
It is an actual equation that is based on all unknown variables.
Oh my God, are we having a science fight? Science fight, science fight!
Even if these are all unknown variables, you can still get a good estimate. It's something you can still work with. And the data is continually... The data is still continually increasing in precision as the point of this... discussion is with a kajillion more red dwarf stars helping us come up with a more precise answer for the Drake inequality, if you'd like, instead of calling it an equation.
The point of the equation isn't to be accurate. The point of the equation is to see if it's even worth looking into possibility of alien life. If your total range of likely answers to the Drake equation is that there are zero intelligent civilizations out there, well, then why even bother building a SETI? Because we're just not going to find anything. But if you use likely... "quote unquote likely numbers," you get anywhere from 1 to 1,000,000.
Right.
So, maybe it's worth a shot.
See, that makes perfect sense. I'd still like to see a much, much better, more structured, exact kind of a reference. Even
then, make
absolutely.
The West
and that's
equation.
Why there are tons of people, tons of astronomers, you know, trying to narrow down these numbers, trying to figure out what they could be.
I actually think Carl Sagan in Atomic Robo said it best.
I think so, too. I don't know where you're going with this.
when he was talking about how a astronomer could have a very worthwhile life proving Arnold Einstein.
Arnold Einstein. Arnold Einstein.
That would be E equals MC squared.
Albert Einstein. But to disprove them would be life-changing. Then you would have hundreds of astronomers leading worthwhile lives proving you right. But that's the whole point, is that even if an equation isn't correct or it's not precise enough for one John West, he can go and he can propose another equation. That's the beauty of science, is that it's an organic situation that, well, if I'm wrong, prove me wrong and I'll listen to you. So, John, I challenge you. Make a more accurate equation.
Well, the one fundamental problem with Drake's, with the formula, is that there's a couple of parts of it that we just can't know until our civilization ends or the singularity happens. Or
are you referring to L, the length of time such civilizations release detect? No, well, which one is that? No, it's...
Wait.
What are the
likelihood of a civilization to destroy itself is
right. That's it. The likelihood of a civilization to destroy itself before contact.
Yeah. And once we figure that out, it'll be a little bit too late anyway.
Yeah,
that sounds preposterous. So,
is this then a sort of pseudo god equation that's like unprovable?
It's not made for one specific answer. We're not looking for an accurate answer. We're looking for,
I mean,
just a range of, is it even worthwhile to look for intelligent life?
It's better to refer to it as an inequality. If you're looking for precision, it's imprecise and it's precision. Even with the most
accurate.
No, I was going to say with the most pessimistic of values, you'll still get hundreds of potential
billions and billions.
Well, if you're optimistic, yeah.
No, the way I look at it is that, you know, they had one of them fancy satellite things, like point its camera in a single direction, and then, oop, let's wait around for a couple of weeks. All of a sudden, there's, like, what, several million galaxies, new galaxies that they discovered in one direction? Galaxies, not solar systems, you know, like, entire Milky Ways. Millions and millions of them in a very, very small section of sky that we can see from our point.
That's the Hubble Deep Field. It's this amazing picture that is like 1 millimeter square, and there's millions of visible galaxies in it.
Exactly.
So there's life somewhere.
I think it would be statistically improbable to say otherwise.
there's no denying that there's life somewhere, but whether or not it is technological is a whole other kettle of fish.
This is true. But actually, you know, you guys are mentioning solar systems, and we've pretty much got it figured out, except for this thing that John told me about. It might actually be where all the comets are coming from.
20% of them, specifically.
Whoa.
And it's the size of Jupiter?
What?
It's like, I think 1.2, so like 1 1/4 the size of Jupiter. Hex, you know the Oort cloud?
Is that like the Kuiper Belt? Like all the little like pieces of weird clumpy rock bullshit like Pluto way out in the fringes of the solar system?
Part of it. That would be like the inner border. It is a huge, huge, huge area. It's theoretical, but like the basic idea is that there's all this crap basically floating around out there. There's a disc-like shape, and then there's basically just a big old cloud way, way out.
This is surrounding the fringes of our solar system.
Yes.
This is where the Reavers are coming from.
Yes.
Yeah, no, seriously. It is way the hell out there. Well, except the Reapers are out on the border of the Milky Way.
Schooled!
The end of the cloud is from the sun, like 1/4 the distance to the next nearest star, kind of a thing. Like, it goes way the hell out. So 80% of them seem to be coming from, like, intergalactic tidal forces. So, like, the actual movement of the Milky Way causes one or two of them to become dislodged and fly towards Sol, the sun, and or Earth.
And these hypothetical intergalactic tidal forces are why comets have kind of an annuals, not annual, but like circulation that has a pattern to it.
No, that'd be because they get affected by the sun, but it is what might jar them out from their just sort of a lackadaisical life in the middle of nowhere. But the other 20% able to be explained by that. And so instead they now believe that there's actually a planet sized object. I mean, like Jupiter and a half practically.
Right, so a real planet, not like a bullshit thing like Pluto.
No, not a bullshit thing, like a massive
it's a sailor
planet.
Scout, so it's a planet.
Well, then there must be an awful lot of sailor scouts because there's an awful lot of things shaped like Pluto out there.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
All right, cool, we're good. So where do they think it is? Just farting around out in like some kind of very distant orbit?
Yeah, I mean, the problem with the Oort cloud is that it seems like its outer border, I think, is actually almost like a light year out. So it's really, really frickin' far. You know, how do you pinpoint something that's a light year out and is completely dark and that's really there, and you're just on occasion, you know, it'll knock a rock towards you, and so you'll see that. You can start running statistics on that, but you're missing like a whole lot of it.
And the thought is that this object is planet-sized and made of rock and ice.
Don't know what it's. The whole point really is the relative size and thus the gravity field that it would be affecting the rest of the comets out there.
So I heard a pretty horrible science joke.
Oh, well.
A guy.
Don't hold back.
A guy was wandering around looking for his keys. He's like, I don't know where my keys are. And he goes up to Heisenberg. He goes, Heisenberg, I don't know where my keys are. Do you know? He's like, well, maybe you just know what their momentum is.
Mm-hmm.
The Heisenberg uncertainty principle says that you can't know the momentum and the location of any electron at the same time. And so the whole idea is if he knows the momentum of the keys.
Over my head.
It's just dumb.
That was, you know who's laughing? Really bad.
That's why I said it's a bad science joke.
It's so bad, though. And furthermore, if I'm not mistaken, they also managed to, within like the last decade, know both the location and momentum, but at the destruction of the particle.
So all you gotta do is blow up your car and you're cool.
Yeah, yeah. So if
I won't know where my keys are, I'll know where my car is.
Well, and so
look,
if
I'm blowing
you know,
up your car.
It's happening. You know, I'm just gonna go like bonus stage Street Fighter 2 on your
no!
car.
No.
All right.
You
man.
Deserve it after telling that joke.
Yeah, man.
But it's not my car. It's Diana's.
Dude. Well.
You explain it to her, man.
Yeah. It's your problem now.
Yeah.
She's going to ask me where her car is. I'm just going to respond, well, do you know what the momentum is?
Yo, she's a girl.
Well, you know about Guile and the bonus stage.
Yeah.
She got any big diamonds? Any giant rubies? I'll smash those too.
I'll line them up, 3 or 4. And then, bam!
Shattered.
I'm just saying.
So,
the car is cooler.
Last year, 8-Bit Collective had this amazing compilation, which was their 8-Bit Advent. And one of the tracks is called Rape of the Sugar Plum Fairies.
They gotta crack my nuts.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Burton, for listening to this week's episode of Nerdy Show. If you have questions or comments, please feel free to send them to info@nerdyshow.com. For more episodes of Nerdy Show, Dungeons and Doritos, comics, videos, and more, go to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe, Mr. Burton, to all Nerdy Show podcasts via the iTunes Store. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter @NerdyShow or friend us on Facebook. We're not brought upon this world to get it, Mr. Burton. If you enjoyed what you heard, support Nerdy Show by telling a friend. Or better yet, give us your money, Mr. Burton, by visiting the Nerdy Show and picking up a t-shirt or donate directly for cool nerdy perks, Mr. Burton. Perks, Mr. Burton. I will bring you to the Hall of the Upside Down Sinners where you'll be skinned alive!